Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock here on the West Coast, and we're working our way through The Hidden Work by E.J. Gold. We're on Chapter 10. We've spent a great deal of time on Chapter 9, and that's going to be a foundational chapter for us as we go through into Chapter 10. We're heading into very rarefied atmosphere as we go forward here. I understand that, okay? And it's okay. That doesn't mean that we can't proceed. But that's the invitation that we have, and we have an invitation together as a group to work in such a way. So just say, it's okay that that's the position we're in. We all have questions at this point. And the questions, all for me, center around how do you do it? What is the method? So tonight, Lost Horizon is on the chat, handing the chat for us. And Vidir is visiting from lovely Toronto. So, welcome everybody, and Dan, can you ask Aria if she's going to sign in? Call in, rather. Yeah. Okay, so Ivan, do you want to get us started then?
The lightning rod function?
Yeah.
If one can determine the present posture of the Absolute, one is able, by the principle of resonance, to assume this posture and, with an awakened biological machine, act as a lightning rod, consciously ascend the cross, and momentarily change places with the Absolute.
thank you. So let's just start working our way through it, okay?
One is able.
One is able. If one can determine the present posture of the Absolute, then one is able, by the principle of resonance, to assume this posture and, with an awakened biological machine, act as a lightning rod. So what does this imply about us? All right? We're going to leave alone if one can determine the posture of the Absolute.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's maybe a little bit beyond our pay grade for the moment. But what we're going to work with is we're going to work with the idea that the next thing says, to assume this posture and, with an awakened biological machine, act as a lightning rod. That's the part that we can do something about, because we've been working now for a couple of years with HBM, Life in the Labyrinth, Practical Work on Self, and also with Joy of Sacrifice, which I think was critical to our path here, to understand that the concept of the awakened machine is an important and simple concept for us. So that part we know how to do. We're not trying to make a big deal of that. We're not trying to make it into a mystical event. That's for later. But just the awakened machine, we understand how to begin standing in that posture. And when we can stand in the posture of the awakened machine, other worlds literally start opening up to us. Our eyes are cleansed, in a sense, and we can go forward in a much different way. So that's where we are now.
Hi, David. So, this is Susan here.
Oh, good. Hi, Susan.
How are you?
Good. It's good to hear your voice.
Good. Apparently, has a question.
Okay.
He asked, what is meant by posture?
Okay, it's a good question. So Piangio is asking us, rather than providing us with the answer, he's asking us the question, what is meant by posture in this context? That's the whole nature of this chapter, okay? So that's what we're trying to understand. What does posture mean? I'm going to read a little bit into the chapter, okay, Ivan? And then we're going to launch into some stuff. There's a specific point I want to get to, and go ahead and unmute for a moment, please, Aria, if you're still online. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So Aria's online on the phone as well, and we're going to expand on a conversation that she and I had a few nights ago that might help us in this regard. But for right now, I'm just going to go through the material just so it's a basis upon which we can discuss stuff. Okay? And Dan's here as well to help us. So the biological machine is a microcosmic duplication of the macrocosmic body of Absolute. And we've discussed this, I think, quite a bit in the last few weeks. Does that make sense? Basically, we are, in Christian terms, you know, in the image of, we're in the image of God. You know, we are heaven on earth. We are that possibility. Okay, I'm just going to say it's that possibility. Okay, hold that. Slow down. Hold that posture just for a moment. Note the sensation of the space. All right? Good. Now let's continue. So these are probabilities in a sense. They're in a certain way mathematical probabilities of how it may become manifest that it is heaven on earth, that we are a duplication of the Absolute. That is the case. That's the frustration. That is the nature of the human and its opportunity on the planet Earth here. So that's our opportunity. Let's see what else we can get into. Man and the Absolute are identical, which is why man is capable of prayer absolute, which we'll be coming to. But they are not exactly identical because they are not exactly identical. The human biological machine can assume the postures of angels, archangels, etc., and can assume the form of first Adam, which is neither male nor female, and is the first great descending posture of the Absolute. And we can look at that in terms of the Tree of Life, which we've talked about in the past as well. It should be stated here that to prevent confusion, the term man, the man I'm talking about is the man who's made in the image of God is the first Adam, which is made again during the process of voluntary evolution. Let's just say that seed is planted in us. The seed is planted and that it is there. As a biological machine, we're trained to survive. And that's proper. That's part of what we need to do, right? We need to survive as individuals. But within that is encased this seed of probability and possibility. And so when the machine is awakened, its life is passive. And then this other seed can begin to grow. And that's the work we need to do here. We are never referring to man in the sense of ordinary human being.
Male human being.
Or male human being. The human biological machine is one of the very few organic forms capable of assuming postures of the Absolute. Now, so this is confusing Because if it says that the biological human biological machine is one of the very few organic forms capable of assuming postures of the absolute, and there is therefore capable of being a lightning rod, does that make sense to you then? So does that mean that if I hold my body in a certain way?
Well, are you addressing Harry's question now?
I'm asking you, Ivan.
Yeah. Well, what I get out of this here is to say that a primate, other than a human primate, let's say, might have lots of bodily postures that are close to or resemble human postures, but that primate is not going to be producing postures that in any way resemble the absolute. In other words, so there's something else going on there than just like this, my bodily posture.
Correct.
Being referred to. You know, I don't know if this is what Harry was getting after, but I mean, I think we look at the idea of the three centers or centrums. I mean, if this is, you know, if I'm relaxed or this is a lazy posture of my body, there are also emotional postures and there are mental postures.
Which is what we got into last week.
And then as soon as you're talking about this Adamic body, you have a new term here, a new idea here, which is the Adamic body. But you know that astral body, or any body above the human biological machine, is already, we're talking about a non-gender, you know, not male or female, you know, not just having a posture like this is a lazy or a relaxed or an alert posture or whatever. We're talking about something which is a combination of all three centers. And, you know, if it's going to have a posture, again, I'm going back to it's not something that my favorite pet dog or cat can produce. It's not something, no matter how close a chimpanzee and orangutan may be to human primate behavior, it's not a posture that an orangutan or a chimpanzee can produce. You know, because there's something missing there.
Yeah, there's something missing. And part of what that something missing in is called the awakened human biological
this,
machine.
All of this process that we've been talking about. He's got something over there to say.
Yeah.
I have a comment.
Pianjo's extended his
Go
question.
Ahead, Susan.
Susan's going to
read the Pianjo thing? Go ahead.
Well, my comment is on the posture. And it's saying if one can determine the posture of the absolute, it's kind of vibrational. So it kind of seems to me like a radio station. If you can tune into that frequency, then you can, for 1 second, be there.
Is this your comment, Susan?
That's my comment.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. And can you go ahead and read what Pianjo had to say? He expanded it.
Pianjo says, I can appreciate postures in yoga. Is that a related notion? And then he asks, does awakening have a posture? And then one more from Pianjo. Does the posture of compassion in a person, the posture of the absolute posture? Should I reread that?
Is that the posture of the absolute?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So we got into some pretty deep water right away.
Certainly.
Ivan?
Well, I understand what it's saying here is that the awakened state of this human biological machine is what it makes us able to assume this posture, not that the awakened state is the posture. Is that what Harry's asking?
Well, let me pose some of my understanding, because Susan is, in my opinion, is bang on here. First of all, we're talking about the activation of the essential self, where the essential self starts to become manifest, that the essential self is starting to become alive. Okay? And that is the evidence of that, Aria, is the sensation and the vibratory sensation that we have here. For instance, an example of it is the vibratory sensation that we have this evening. That's an evidence of that the machine is in a certain way set aside. It's therefore awakened. It's an odd way of putting it. Because when the machine is awakened, its will is passive. Its manifestations are not dominant. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the essential self can come forward. And therefore, we can be in a space like we're in tonight. Now, so what Susan is indicating and what Harry is asking questions about has to do with something about a vibratory sensation. When we are together, we can begin to sense that vibratory sensation. And when we can sense it, we go toward it. We're we're drawn toward it. And if we're drawn toward it, it's because we're sensing something. So what does posture mean in a case like that? It starts to mean an inner posture. It's an inner posture that, so like a yogic posture that Harry was referring to, it has an inner sensation to it too. And I would imagine that in advanced yoga, they address that issue. I've not taken that discipline, but I know that in the movements that we learned several years ago, that was a critical part of the movement, is that you could find the vibrational sensation that went with the physical body movement. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that what Susan is saying is that we find the vibratory sensation in which we can begin to assume the posture of that. Does that make any sense?
I think it makes sense.
Okay.
I mean, it's like saying that you know, in order to take steps towards prayer absolute, let's say towards assuming this work or entering this work, the awakening of the machine is obviously necessary. You know, the awakening of the machine is the step that's necessary. And then this chapter here is suggesting to me that having awakening the machine and assuming a posture would be another step, which is to say, you know, suppose it's an angelic posture. Suppose it's a posture that has a certain sensation, as you're saying, that comes through the movements.
Okay.
Or that comes through some fragment of this work, you know, let's say.
Okay, so now, so let me ask everybody, and I'll ask everybody here too that's involved in this particular study, is, does that make sense to you that you can that you can sense the vibratory signature, let's say, of this group? Does it seem like you can sense something different than normal? Molly Midway?
Yeah.
She says yes, that you can. So that's, it's got its own signature, right? Molly? Yeah. Okay, so this is
good.
Says
if you're right outside this signature, you can almost sense it better.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're
moving towards the discernment point.
Yeah.
The discernment point. And once you're in it, it's harder to have discernment, right?
Once you're in it, you're harder.
Okay.
Okay,
so Jana is bringing up an enormous point called transit. One of these days, we're just going to do a class on transit. There's nothing in the books that it's indicated and hinted, but I have found from my personal work that the concept of transit is critical to developing discernment. Dan, do you have a sense like that there's a particular vibratory sensation of this space that we get into? Yeah, he says. Pardon? Dan says he tends not to notice it when he's in it for a while. This is the next level of discernment to keep it keep it alive and active. That's why I said about 7 minutes ago, I said, notice this space. Remember I said that? Do you remember those words? Wasn't that weird? Because I knew that moment there was a shift in the space. Mm-hmm. And we went click. As a group, we clicked up to the next space. Susan says, no question for her. She's very good at that. But dear, do you have a feeling for that? Those words? Does it make any sense?
I kind of have to remind myself that I have intention.
Yeah, and bring my...
To notice it.
To notice it, and as soon as I'm in that space...
To notice it.
I'm part of it, but if I'm not...
She says as soon as I'm in that space,
that's
I'm part of it.
That's the kind of struggle you want to have, is the I don't know, okay? You want to be in the I don't know part. Is Aria, are you still on the phone?
Yep.
Okay. So how does this part ring to you?
Well, sometimes it's a huge shift. For me, I go through bumpy transitions. And like physically bumpy transitions, and other times I have very smooth transitions that I don't know that I've transitioned until I went, wow, am I here, or when did I get here? Then there are other times when I've been in the space so long that I'm still wondering, gosh, am I here? Did I leave? Yeah, I am here, because it's becoming more and more normal.
Okay, so one of the things that we can learn from Vadir then, and some of the things that Molly was telling us, is that it takes a particular, and Dan as well, it takes a particular kind of vigilance to self-remember that we're in this space. All right?
Mm-hmm.
As you get more practiced at it, your attention will... vigilant is the word I use. It's the word, the attention that I have when I'm in, it's like I feel very careful how I tend the space. Okay? That's the word I want to use. We tend it in a certain way. We tend it, why would I say a word like that?
Tend it?
Yeah.
Well,
you have to take care of it.
Susan said, can you repeat?
Sure, you have to take care of it and make sure that the heart of it is still going.
So am I part of the process of taking care of it, Susan?
Well, yeah, because you're standing there with the stick. And you're poking it around.
He's standing there with the stick?
Yeah, poking the fire around, making sure that it keeps going.
Like tending a fire.
The same moment you said it, Dan said tending the fire. Use the word fire. So we're taking care of the fire to keep sure it's burning. Are you part of tending it, Susan?
Well, sure.
Aria, are you?
Because we all throw on pine cones, and then we can go. It takes a village. Some people need to cut wood. And
takes a village, she said.
Yeah. So.
And it's also made a circle be unbroken.
And in this case, we use the term, is the circle unbroken, in the term of the infinite circle. And we are that circle. But it doesn't happen accidentally. It happens because of intention and what we bring to this, to the game. We bring something to this game. We bring the only two gifts that we have to bring. And we remember what those are, right, Ivan?
Certainly.
Attention and presence. And that's what we have. But that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's a pretty good gift.
It's very, like so many things in EJ's formulation, it's very, very simple. It's very lucid. It's very simple. It's not easy to maintain.
When I was working with...
It's not. It may be obvious, but it ain't easy.
When I was working with Gregory Grover many years ago, he said the term is it's too simple for the human mind.
Well, there you go. That's it.
And that's the case here. So when we're talking, the meaning in this chapter is that if we can find a certain posture, then we can act as a lightning rod to bring this energy down, right?
Yes.
Okay, but the question that Aria poses is, how do you know when you're doing it? How do you practice it? While you're pondering that, that's a tough question that she asks. I'm going to read something that Jim H. posted on the Wings of Chaos.
Wings of Chaos.
How about Wings of Chaos website?
Mm-hmm.
And then in a little while, I'll read something that Harry said as well. This is from Jim. There are some wonderful words from EJ in the Lost Works on Spontaneous Surrender,
mm-hmm.
which recently touched me. I just picked a few of the stanzas to share, which I think are relevant at this stage. I'll read those stanzas now. Come to me and lose yourself in me. The darkness cannot stand before light. I wait for you to discover me and know me. For I and the Father are one. I am your true abode, and the door is open. Enter and be annihilated in the force of love. Very appropriate to this chapter, Jim. I appreciate you finding that and sharing it with us. So, part of what this chapter has to do with, and I think what Ari and I were struggling with the other night, is how do you increase your capacity to handle more and more of this form of energetic? Right?
So, David?
Yes, ma'am.
I guess... Let's see. Kathleen's not really understanding. I'm trying to become clear. And I guess we should just not understanding the chapter and where we've gotten to.
Okay.
Who's that?
Are you saying that? Is that you saying that, Susan?
No,
or is somebody?
She's finding this frustrating.
Who?
Pathworld.
Pathworld.
And
finding it frustrating. Tell me what's frustrating about it. And you're welcome to call in. And the phone number, I think, you put it up right there.
Pathworld, let me know if I'm totally off I might be totally off here.
How do we know if you're totally off? Because we're not you.
Well, she's trying to understand, she said.
Okay. Invite her to call. Go ahead and type it in. And invite her to call in if she'd like. Perfect time.
No, I think we should read a little more here.
Read a little more, Ivan.
Yeah, I think we should continue.
And also, Aria's asked what was... She would rather not call in, so I apologize. So let's go on.
All right. I think we should question the text. We should determine whether
okay.
the next or the next paragraph have some relevance to this.
Where are we then?
For
this, we will rely.
Yeah, conduct our ground. Yeah, well.
Jump ahead.
Yeah.
I was going to jump ahead to the next three
yeah.
paragraphs. What is the feeling of invoking the absolute?
That's what I thought we were addressing
okay.
here. Yeah.
You will never have any doubt if you succeed. And then, when you do, you will almost certainly hate the feelings and sensations, because when we momentarily invoke the absolute into ourselves, we experience for one horrible, timeless eternity the subjective state of the absolute. Someone who has actually experienced prayer absolute need not ask whether it is really that important to alleviate the suffering of the absolute. The subjective experience will leave one speechless. After this eternal moment, what is there to say? From then on, every experience in ordinary life, as such, is meaningless.
Right, so does that answer? That may raise more questions than it answers.
Does that help Path World?
But this idea, you will never have any doubt if you succeed. So whatever those sensations are that signify the prayer absolute, it's not going to be, you're not going to be questioning it. You know, it's
okay.
not going to be, what do you call it? It's not going to be unclear.
How would you help Path World out here? What is it that we can help all of us in clarifying what are we talking about?
Can I just say something
Please.
Else, David?
Yeah.
yeah. The other thing that strikes me about this is, see, you're getting at this vibratory sensations, right? Which is to say, so this is saying, if I personally can ascend the cross, if I can have this eternal moment of prayer absolute, then I will experience the suffering of the absolute, and I won't forget that. So David is talking about we have a location, a vibratory signature, let's say, of this group.
Right.
So this is something we're doing here. So let's say, you know, we're sensing this, and we're working with some degree of the awakening for all of us of this human biological machine. I doubt that we have entered into this prayer absolute to this degree, because I believe we would sense this as a group.
We would and know it. Believe me, you would know it.
What he's saying here, I think, applies to us as an entity together, that we would know this.
It would be clear opinion. And distinct.
Yeah.
The process called invoking the absolute is beyond the experiences of most of us here, if not all of us. That's the end product of this particular focal point.
Yeah, but David, you've gone to some lengths actually to describe to us, for instance, this similar experience of a circle of people. So, you know, there's quite a group of people who have experienced the descending vibration, the descending energy
of a higher
of something.
Entity.
Yeah, of higher, which is not necessarily the posture of the absolute.
Correct.
But this is a very profound experience that people had, and they did have it as a group. You know, they had it was something they experienced together. Yeah.
So I guess what I'm trying to say in a pragmatic way, and maybe you can help me out, Harry or George or Ari or Susan, anybody, that what I'm trying to say is that we got what we got here is where we are. Here is where we can begin. If we think that the only conversation to have is the conversation called, I am invoking the absolute, you will not have that conversation. It is not something that just kind of happens, all right? It takes like a great deal of work and dedication to even begin to approach that. But what can we do? What can we do with what we are? And goodness gracious, I mean, you say you're frustrated and you don't understand what's going on. Tell me where you're at. Tell me where you're at and speak your truth, because then we can do something to help. What is it that is separating you from allowing yourself to grasp and possess your own reality of this space? Or maybe there is no space for you. I don't believe that's the case.
David?
Yo.
I was reading the chat, and what Pat had posted was, does anyone else, am I the only one feeling frustrated? Does anyone else feel frustrated about this? What we can't understand, there was a lot of assumption that she just didn't understand the material. But I'm not sure if it was the chapter or the discussion, you know, or everything. Now she's saying that she doesn't know, it was just a feeling. So we're not really sure where she's frustrated, but she's experiencing, I think, more of, and maybe it's just the manifestation rising up of frustration and resistance to the space or to what we're talking and what we're doing. But it's not really clarifying. The most clarification is that she doesn't know, it's just a feeling that she has.
Okay, that's fair. That's fine. What would you say to her?
To just stay in it,
okay.
Observe it, and just, you know, listen, put all of her attention not on the frustrate, on a feeling of frustration, but on not maybe not even trying to understand it. Sometimes I understand more when I just sit and listen and not try so hard to understand. I'm just open.
I think that's a great comment, Aria, that you're making there, because the idea is that the understanding we're talking about is not lineal understanding of the mental centrum. Okay. We're not trying to come up with theory. We could do that. We could go through this in a theoretical manner and discuss the nature of the Adamic body, how it relates to the dissension to the tree of life, and so on and so forth. But we're a different kind of group. We're trying to work in a pragmatic manner. So understanding comes from to your heart.
Which is like those passages that Jim posted there.
Yeah.
Those strike me as that's another possible answer to Harry about what is a posture. To me, those passages that EJ wrote many years ago, in Spontaneous Surrender,
yeah,
a little booklet, they express a posture, I think. It's emotional. There's definitely an emotional posture in there.
So if there's
the openness, you know, that the doorway is open, that the heart is open, in fact.
The doorway is open.
Yeah.
The doorway is open now, and we can enter into the doorway, and we are entering into the doorway. That's the point I'm making, is that we are entering into it. So if we are entering into it, part of what the chapter is trying to tell us is strengthen your muscles, and it means allowing more capacity, surrendering, in a sense, to the sensations that may or may not be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, sometimes that's all the work that we're supposed to do, is to be in sensing and a particular form of surrender. And when you are in that particular form of surrender, and there's a certain compassion to the space, yes, you are beginning to mimic the space of the Absolute at a very, very low level. But you're beginning to open up and allow that posture to occur. Jumping ahead a little bit, if you perform prayer absolute day after day, you would die. And I think that in the summary, Aria and Dan addressed that and a bit. On the other hand, if you tried to perform it alone, you could only perform prayer absolute once or twice a month, perhaps less than that. That's why a group of people is necessary for the invocation of the Absolute. Besides, on any given day, out of 8 people, for example, only 2 or 3 of them are likely to be in a psycho-emotional state conducive to prayer absolute. Just as someone who has been struck by lightning tends to be struck by lightning again, because he is a good conductor. Or perhaps he is just a gathering place for probability. A group which has already performed prayer absolute is likely to continue to be able to function as a lightning rod for the absolute. Therefore, the group must remain together, because contrary to popular belief, lightning tends to strike at the same place time after time.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts? So we're not talking about physics here.
Right.
Why did he say it backwards?
But Jonathan's here as well, visiting, and he asked, is it referring to like lightning, actual lightning, or a funnel, kind of where it tends to collect? And that's the right answer. It's a probability in which it collects. Because these individuals that are here in this room, how many people did it say on the chat? 23 people have been working very hard for a couple of years. They come and they put in their attention and presence to be here. And that forms a matrix upon which something can descend. And it is descending. That's the point. So we're a lightning rod. We're becoming a lightning rod.
Or a gathering place for probability.
Okay.
If you like. I think that's, I'm not sure what else you can get many things perhaps out of this passage. What I get out of it, to me, it's very notable that the, let's say randomly, or let's say meeting at a coffee house or something like that, very seldom, by chance, will several people out of a group of 8 or 10 be anywhere near the posture of the Absolute, or anywhere near an awakened state, to deal with, participate in prayer absolute, and so on. We're talking about here having a group of people who intentionally meet week after week, and we're putting our attention, actually, we're deliberately exercising ourselves to remove the obstacles, let's say, to this vibratory state.
Okay, so part of the thing, Path, is that you are part of what makes this probability occur. Because we're doing it together, it's easier for me to stand aside from the normal activity of my sleeping machine, and I can be more my essential self. But because all of us are doing this together, mm-hmm. I can borrow the necessity from everybody, and I can be more open, which allows more of that energetic to descend. Part of our job is to allow it to descend. As you allow it to descend at this level, it just, there's a little bit of a pain about it. This I call the cleansing radiation of this particular type of event. There's a cleansing radiation to it, and it's like you're growing at this particular moment. You're expanding, and it hurts a little bit. It's at that little moment of hurt that there's something there. And maybe what Ari was telling us is that maybe at that moment of frustration, it's like our brain is trying to figure all this out, but our heart knows the answer already. Maybe that's how it works for you, or maybe not.
Yes, speaking of habit, this idea of the frustration, I think that I've experienced this. I have a habit or a very strong tendency to want to know, to ask myself, why am I frustrated, and to do this reasoning, you know, this sort of mental process that David's talking about. But it seems to me that what our type of meeting here, or our work together, our process of sitting together in this circle would suggest that I want to look at, instead of why am I frustrated, who is it who's frustrated?
Nice.
I want to be detaching myself, detaching the observer, like self-observing for this.
The reason I bring it up, Pat, is because I have been in spaces with you where you're able to, in my estimation, be in a very, very open space. And it's clear and distinct to me. So what I say is embrace that. Can we own the fact that we can do this on some level? The fact that we can't invoke Archangel Michael, which you don't want to do, okay? The fact that we aren't doing that doesn't mean that we're not doing something. It's just that we're beginners. And it's okay to be beginners because it's good work. It's worthy work, and we're doing it together. And that's something that is of great value. Did you say something? No, Susan, did you have a question right then?
No.
Is that you? No. Okay. Thought I heard a question. Maybe it was Aria. All right. Do you want to get those comments online, Susan?
Yeah, let me take a look.
Which, from who again? He said to go back to Winnipeg 9.
Go back to Winnipeg 9.
What time? Oh, 7:15, so it's quite a ways back.
This is time travel now. Well, I have a suggestion, which is
that we
continue now this passage, you know, in regard to the lightning and the lightning bolt.
This is
what he's going on to discuss.
Okay,
here.
Yeah, this is important. So it's a matter of capacity. Or did I read that other one? Yeah, it's a matter of capacity for the absolute. A lightning rod does not accomplish anything. It is simply a ground. It provides a path for an electrical potential. In this case, the unimaginable electrical potential, which is the absolute. By acting as a ground, we enable the absolute to descend to the earth, the next to lowest dimension. Imagine the explosive sensation as a bolt of lightning courses through your body. The effect really is quite comparable to this. It is something one never really becomes accustomed to. I'll share a particular experience. I was in a particular chamber that was extremely intense. The only way to hang out in such a chamber is to acquiesce to it. You must let it go through you. Because if you try to, you know, handle it, you'll be blown away. There's no question. there was somebody else there too, and this individual was new to that kind of a space. And there was literally agony on the person's face trying to allow that amount of, and it really was an amount of, radiation to go through them. They were fighting it, and they was, their face was contorted. And that's when I learned a great deal about what I needed to do. I needed to learn the practice of acquiescence, of sensing when the space starts to occur and then attempting to acquiesce to it. Because in the acquiescence, I think, is where we provide a channel for this to come in. It's like it's welcome then. We welcome it. Does this make sense? So if our capacity, how do you create capacity? I think that's what you and I were talking about, Aria, was how do you create capacity? And your question, do you remember what your question was? I asked Susan to go back and look at that. Now I've rambled on. I'm sorry.
And it's just a very obscure
comment of Aria.
Comment of
gotta love to learn to burn, Aria says on the chat, right?
Well, I'm
okay.
Burning right now.
The pain is a good sign.
What did Susan say? Did you hear what Susan just said? Go ahead, Susan.
Uh-huh, I said, I'm burning right now.
Because she can feel that burn. Aria,
I finally found it.
She found it.
Yeah, because I lost it, and then my hand starts sweating. I'm like, oh, no, I lost it again, and they're all waiting for me.
Okay, so this is the discernment, and that's what's called how do you navigate within. So what is the posture that, to answer Harry's question? It's an inner posture. If we can begin to develop an inner posture where we're not afraid, as Aria said, of the burn, because that's when we grow. It's like I feel so blessed in a certain way, so lucky to be available, because if I can allow this to come down, there's like a natural cleansing radiation, right? It's a natural cleansing radiation, and the machine takes a second tier to this because we're compelled to be in the space called cleansing radiation, right? We just love it. And Silverdale, do you want to share what you said the other night about that? Do you remember what we were talking about?
Boy, David, give me a
we were talking
point.
About, yeah. We were on the phone together with Tianjo, and you said, when I start to sense this, the cleansing or this radiation, it's like I really want to be in it. I desire to be in it. And then, does that recall you a little bit about what you then said? You said, I'm addicted
Well, that's right. Look at, it's called the development of the practice of presence. I find for myself, the more I'm in this state of presence with an awakened biological machine, I ask myself, George, are you addicted to the pleasantness of this place that you're at? And it does, to a degree, hinder my... a attendance to daily administrative details.
I see.
Well, you're supposed to be careful of operating heavy machinery.
Yeah. Well, that's...
and so as it grows in you more, you want to be in it more. And part of it is for me, I guess, is I start to feel like this is the fulfillment of who I am. I'm fulfilling part of what my life is about. And so I want to be in it. I want to be in this space. So how do we develop our capacity? Yes? Was that Aria?
Yeah, I forgot I wasn't on mute.
It's your signature laugh, so there.
On the phone.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So
would you like this comment?
Yeah, here, go for it. I'm just
This is babbling. From Winnipeg 9?
Yeah.
Oops, my cat said mood in the higher is a posture.
I didn't hear the first part.
He said, oops, my cat said mood in the higher is a posture.
Your cat?
Mood in the higher is a posture.
Yes.
Yeah, that is correct.
That's what you wanted.
That's excellent. So that's what we're talking about is that. So mood is how you navigate. So by which I mean you can sense a mood, which for me was clear and distinct just after we began the class. It was clear and distinct that a mood shift had occurred. I pointed it out. It was clear and distinct to me. We just lift it up a little bit. All right? So to the extent we can develop discernment, we can capture these spaces. It doesn't matter where we are. The group night, when we're on Wednesday night together, it's a touch point. It's a reminding factor that says, oh, that's what it looks like. Right? We can remember. But then tomorrow, when we go out and do stuff, we might run across it at any moment. And when you run across it, take advantage of it and give what you can into that space that happens at the cleaners or
Harry's story with the lawyers and accountants.
The lawyers and accountants, I mean, that's truly...
So there's a chance that we've lost half of the group?
We did?
Well, because I'm on the telephone, but online it's saying that the video stream is down.
You know, you have to refresh your screen. I've just done it, and I think there was a ad sharing advertisement that came up that kind of disturbed the video stream. But anyway, you're back on the air if you refresh.
Oh, okay. So
it looks like on here. Okay. I think we're back on.
You know something? Can I read a little bit?
Please, go ahead. Go
yeah,
ahead.
I want to pick up on page 96, you know, after a couple of paragraphs about how deadly and sort of difficult this invocation of the Absolute is. The only way to avoid these terrible consequences is to have prepared ourselves, which I think dovetails with what David is saying here. Some individuals, through evolutionary training, have managed to make themselves psycho-emotionally and physically more able to endure the force of the presence of the Absolute for much longer periods than would otherwise be organically possible. And note the next paragraph. At the same time, this sacrifice is not so altruistic. It provides the force for evolution, automatically altering the organic substances present in the biological machine. That is, if they have not already been destroyed in the course of ordinary life by negative emotions and negative manifestations. So, you know, what I get out of that is he's saying there's a good reason for this. Before we actually attempt to perform prayer absolute, we can increase the machine's endurance first by repeated awakening and then by invocation of beings of only slightly higher dimensions than our own, whose presence is not nearly so profoundly disruptive to the continued life of the machine.
Okay.
So there's a program, an exercise program.
That's what I was trying to, we were trying to get to earlier. This is the preparatory stage of it then. You do what you can. I guarantee you that we don't have the firepower here. I certainly don't, as a guide, to invoke the presence of the seamwork. but I was able to participate in it. I had the skill to participate in it
mm-hmm.
and other profound spaces. But what can we do? What we can do is do what we've done tonight. That's what we can do. And we can do what's called only slightly higher dimensions than our own, whose presence is not nearly so profoundly disruptive. Just think about that. So where it's like we're building up an inner, let's try to get away from this inner muscle thing, but we're building up like in this inner vessel. And I had this experience many, many years ago also with Gregory Grover. Why he's coming up tonight, I don't know. But he had this ability to bring in this presence. It was real interesting. I was working with this other individual, and we'd go to his house, and he goes, okay, now we're going to go into silence, and we go, and now. And when he did that, he would have this, he was able to emanate this particular presence, and we would drop into what he called silence. And what it is this space that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very profound, and I had a very strong experience. And in that experience, I realized that part of my goal in life was to cleanse the vessel. I am a vessel. And part of my job is to cleanse the vessel. And every time I come to this evening and I'm able to work with the individuals that are here, every time I'm able to work with everybody, I'm able to cleanse the vessel one little inch more. And each time I do that, I'm able to be available for more capacity for grace to descend. So thank you for the opportunity to be able to do that together. I'm very optimistic. Absolutely I am. I haven't put all the cards on the table yet, but I've put a lot. Let's just say I bet. I didn't bet the house. As they say, I'm all in.
Or you could, in our gambling practice, you throw it all on midnight.
Put it all on midnight.
You bet everything on midnight.
So we'll end that at that point.
Okay, we're gonna work some more on this chapter.
Yeah.
So
there's some more questions.
Some questions.
Do you want to say it into the recording, Susan? Or do you want to just say it, Dan?
Let's see. I can't really. Well, maybe I can find some.
Who is the person?
Winnipeg 9.
Winnipeg 9.
EJ calls mood a rudder.
Okay, next.
Okay. Jim H. says a good resilience to suffering would seem to be needed.
Resilience for suffering.
Yeah.
Winnipeg 9 says voyaging the higher.
Okay. Yeah.
Becky Sunnybrook says, David, can you say why you said invoking Michael the Archangel may not be a good idea?
Could be a personal bias.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a personal bias, but let's just put it this way. That's the big leagues, okay? And it's serious stuff when you get into that level. It's, I don't know where it is. I thought it was in this chapter, but it isn't. There's a phrase somewhere in one of these. Maybe it's in Life in the Labyrinth. Lightning handlers always crackle.
That's the chapter in Life in the Labyrinth. But, you should maybe point out that Michael is the archangel who's always portrayed with a sword.
A flaming sword.
A big sword.
And he cuts asunder.
Yeah.
These two diverse parts of the invocation of the human from the angelic, and let's just say at that point you don't necessarily have a choice. I'm not prepared for that. It frightens me a little bit. It does frighten me. So I'm prepared for what I can do now. So that's why I say it, Becky, is that these are real things. These are not just cool words to talk about. Oh, Archangel Michael. I had a real good experience with Archangel Michael. Well, I mean, maybe in a certain way you can invoke that, but to invoke an entity of that magnitude is beyond our capacity at the moment. It's like you play Little League Baseball and then you're thrown on the field with the New York Yankees.
Yeah, or another way that what I would say about that is I would much prefer to approach that with this group here than to think about doing it myself. You know, that would be my
Our
preference.
Group, this is a brilliant point. Our group is forming the beginnings, it's not exact, but I'm going to say it anyway, okay? The beginnings of an endomic body.
Yeah.
And all I mean, and if you read the summary that Aria and Dan put up onto the website, they talk about developing a new body.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, we're talking about doing that, but as a group, we're doing it too. We're really talking about group work here. So I encourage us to continue to work in this way and bring forth your questions as well as you're able to.
You know, David, I'd like to say something. It just seems, because I keep thinking of this, so it seems like maybe there's some need for me to say something about the small confession. I realized that, you know, we're talking about being frustrated or anxious or something. I find that during the week, when I'm away from here, when I have practices that I'm attempting to do or I'm trying to remember to be present, to remember to be present enough to remember to do a practice that I've set for myself to remember to do, and I find, you know, I'm very often frustrated or impatient with myself during the week, but something that I've noticed very clearly is that that sensation goes away. It definitely recedes for this hour. I don't feel impatient. I don't have those feelings about being annoyed with myself or impatient with the machine while we're doing this. Because, yeah, anyway, I just feel like we're all more present here, that we're actually working with presence.
Thank you very much for that, Ivan. I think that's really clear and distinct. And we're drawing on our group energy to work together in this way. We have the opportunity to do that in the group. So why don't we, we're a little bit over time.
Yeah, we are.
So why don't we just call.
Can
right
I take
there.
Jim H.'s comment?
Please, yes, Susan.
Since we have eternal return, there's lots of chances to do this work.
There are lots of chances to do this work. And this is the chance that we have right now. Okay, that's the one that's before us. So we'll continue on Chapter 10. I don't know if we're going to be able to finish it next week or not. I just don't get it anymore, how to get through these chapters. But
whatever
he says.
Whatever.
But anyway, why don't we call it, somebody make sure, I don't know if Aria can or Jim sometimes often sends me the log, but if someone would send me the log, I'll post it on the site over the next 2 or 3 days. But for this evening, I'd like to say thank you once again for showing up and providing what you provide to all of us. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week at 7 o'clock.
Thanks, David. Ivan.
Thank you. Good night, all.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, Aria.